verses 6 and 7. Reading from the New American Standard Bible. By the way, how many of you that are here tonight have got the New American Standard Bible with you tonight and you're using it tonight? Raise your hand. Just interested. Okay. And how many have got the King James Bible tonight and are using it? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, I'll be reading from the New American Standard, so do your best. I had to do that because there's a lot of places in the scriptures I'm going to be bringing tonight that are important to have translated in the right way. And tonight I'm going to be talking to you about God's peace dwelling within us, being manifested through us, one to another, as well as to the world. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What is this peace of God that it talks about in verse 7 that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? Well, it's hard to define it because the Bible says that it passes all comprehension. So it's going to be impossible for me to really fully adequately define it. But the Greek word eirene, which is translated peace here and elsewhere in the New Testament, refers primarily to a state rather than to an attitude or to a relationship. It refers to a state of peace. It can refer to a state of military peace. It can refer to a state of peace within the human spirit. It refers to a state. It's referring to a state of peace, a way of being. And the best way to define peace is to define it as a lack of agitation. It's to define it as the opposite of anxiety. It's the lack of interference with the normal state from competing interests. You know, God desires that your normal state should be one of complete tranquility. And any interference with that state, anything that gets you anxious or worried or fearful is not of God. When you allow these things, whether they're temptations from without, whether they're fears about what might happen, anything that you allow to get you anxious, anything that you allow to get you worried, is interfering with what God wants to be the normal state of your life, and that's to have peace and tranquility. So that's what peace is. It's the absence of agitation. It's the absence of anxiety. It's the normal state of the Christian. In verse 7, it says that the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What will it guard it from? What will this peace of God guard your hearts and minds from? See, the peace, that's how the peace of God functions. That's its function, is to guard your heart and mind. What it guards your heart and mind from is worry and fear, and lack of faith. That's what it guards your heart and mind from. And that's what the peace of God is. I would like to talk about what the peace of God is not. The peace of God, first of all, is not peace that the world gives. In John 14, 27, Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." The type of peace that the world gives is a temporary peace. It's a peace of convenience. It's a peace of mutual convenience, but it's not a lasting peace. It's not ultimately a meaningful peace. But the peace that God gives is eternal. Matthew 10:34, Jesus said, "I don't think that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword." Now, what Jesus meant when he said that, he explained in the words following. He said that families are going to be divided. Groups are going to be divided. Societies are going to be divided by this gospel. What Jesus meant was, I'm not going to bring in the peace that the world brings in, which is the peace of compromise. That's the peace of the world. It's the peace of compromise. Each side compromises a little bit of what they know is right, And then they can mutually coexist temporarily. And that's what they call peace. But that's not the peace of God. That's not the kind of peace that Jesus ushered in when he came. The kind of peace that Jesus brought, and the kind of peace that he wants us to have in our hearts and to be manifested in our lives, is that deep and lasting peace of the Spirit that cannot be taken away by any circumstance, by any demon, or by any man. And of that peace, the Word of God tells us that there is no peace for the wicked. In Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith God, for the wicked. Because the wicked don't know God, and because the wicked cannot have the Spirit of God dwelling within them, there can be no peace. But there is peace, and there can be perfect peace for the people of God, and it's God's will that we have it. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He said, "I have told you these things that you might have peace. I have told you these things that are coming ahead that you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." Outwardly, in the outward circumstances of your life, as a Christian walking in this sinful world, you will have tribulation without. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Therefore, you will have peace, and you can have peace, and it's God's will that you do have peace. 2 Peter 3:14 exhorts us to be diligent to be found in peace. Now, that sounds almost self-contradictory, since peace is defined somewhat in negative terms of what it's not and what it is the absence of. But it says, be diligent to be found in the peace of God. And as we begin to explore how we obtain the peace of God, and more importantly, how we maintain the peace of God, it's going to become clear that there is a need for diligence in seeking after the peace of God. It's not something that comes naturally. The natural state of man is agitation. And his agitation leads him to invent God. It leads him to do all kinds of things and try to accomplish things to overcome his fears. But the peace of God can be lasting, can be real, can be permanent, and it can be consistent in our lives. And that's the will of God for us. God himself is oftentimes in the New Testament referred to as the God of peace in a number of places. Each one of the Pauline epistles opens up with a salutation, and within the first few verses in every one of the Pauline epistles, Paul says, "May the peace of God be upon you. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." And he wishes peace upon the churches of God. It's very important that the people of God have that inner peace of God. So now we come to the most important part, and that is, how do we obtain this peace of God? How do we make this tranquility and this strength that comes from having no anxiety or worry, how do we obtain that from the Lord, and how do we keep it? Well, first of all, we need to rid ourselves of every ambition that would compete with the Holy Spirit. We need to rid ourselves of every inordinate desire. We need to rid ourselves of every desire within us that reaches out for something other than God. Because as long as those desires are in your life, you're never going to be satisfied. The Bible says that the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear with hearing. Anything in your life, any ambition that you entertain, that you allow to compete with the Spirit of God, is going to cause agitation in your life. That lack of peace, that anxiety, that worry, that fear. You know, what you fear depends upon what you're trying to protect. If you're trying to protect your bank account, you'll greatly fear losing that. If you're trying to protect your family, you'll greatly fear losing them. And there is an extent to which we should try to protect certain of these things. But if we ever allow those things to become more important to us than the will of God being done in our lives, if we try to protect anything of ourselves or anything pertaining to ourselves, and if we allow that thing to become too important and begin to protect it, then a fear comes in. And that fear comes in because we're no longer trusting God, because we've moved above Him with this thing. We put this thing above Him, and so now we no longer have the guarantee of His protection, because it's not submitted unto Him. You think back to the times when you've been, as a Christian, when you've been fearful, when you've been anxious. And how many times has it not been because of some wrong ambition or some wrong desire or trying to protect something that you shouldn't be trying to protect? Romans 8, and I'd like you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verses 6 and 7. And here it says that the mind that is set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. If you make Jesus Christ truly and daily the most important thing in your life, if you make doing His will your highest ambition, it will be life and peace unto your soul and spirit. I can promise you that, according to the Word of God and according to experience. Because the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. When the mind is set on the flesh and the desires of the flesh and the things of the flesh, it's impossible for the mind, for the soul and spirit to subject to the law of God. And yet this is the only way you can have peace, is to subject yourself to the law of God. Turn to Psalm 119 and verse 165. Those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Those who love thy law, those who have submitted themselves to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. You know how easy it is to stumble when you're anxious, when you're worked up, when you're uptight? It just seems like anything that anybody does gets magnified 10 times and just causes you to blow up. And you stumble easily, don't you? You stumble quickly. But when you're at peace, when you're at peace with God, when you're at peace within yourself, when your spirit is at peace, when things are right, it's difficult to be stumbled. Another way in which we can obtain and maintain this peace of God is to let every decision that we make be submitted unto that rulership of the peace of God in our life. I'd like you to turn with me to Colossians 3:15 for the scriptural demonstration of this point. Colossians 3:15. How much more important is it to have the peace of God in your life consistently than to have the power of God in your life inconsistently? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now he's speaking here to the Colossian church, and he's talking about their relationships one to another, as well as the relationship that they have with God and with their environment, including circumstances as well as people. And he says, in everything that comes against you, in every decision that you make, for example, when your brother that you live with or your wife that you live with does something to rub you the wrong way, you're immediately faced with a decision, aren't you? And if the peace of God is ruling in your heart, it comes from an old Greek word which means to act as referee or act as arbiter. If that peace of God and what it's talking about is a referee who maintains authority over what's happening. An arbiter, not just an arbiter who's going between, but an arbiter who is in a position of authority. And that's why it's translated rule here. Because this peace of God is ruling in your heart. You've asked the Holy Spirit to cleanse you and to purge you of every wrongful ambition and every desire that's not of God, and the anxiety and the worry and the agitation over trying to get something or build something or do something has been submitted to the Holy Ghost, and you're in a state of tranquility, you're in a state of solidarity and strength. When that temptation comes your way, that peace is ruling in your heart with authority. And so the decision that's made is the decision that leads to peace instead of the decision that leads to strife. And this is such a vitally important truth to be activated in your living rooms, in your bedrooms, your kitchens, and all the rooms of your house, everywhere you go. This is a vitally important truth, that you be in a place where the peace of God is ruling with authority in your life, and where temptations and demonic temptations, temptations of circumstance, temptations of fleshly desire are all in submission to the rulership of the peace of Christ. Another thing that we need to do to maintain this peace of Christ in our life is to pursue things which make for peace rather than things which gender strife. And with that, Romans 14 and verse 19, look at it with me. And again, Paul here is addressing a church, and he's talking about church, he's talking about relationships of members of the body one to another, primarily. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. So then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. These things which need to be actively pursued are things that pertain to peace. Now there's a temptation of our flesh, usually because of our pride, to pursue those things that gender strife. When two people's pride clash, it can be the ugliest conflict you've ever seen. But when people are pursuing the things of God, when people have made Jesus the number one thing in their life, and when all they care about is that God be glorified, no matter what happens to them, no matter how much glory does or doesn't come to them, but that Jesus Christ be glorified and that the name of Jesus be lifted up supremely, when people have that attitude, very little conflict. Very little conflict ensues. Because again, there's a peace in that. If you're trying to make something of yourself, if you're trying to project an image and make people think that you're something, you're constantly in a state of anxiety. You're constantly worried about, well, not... See now, what does that one think? And this one, I've got to keep this going over here. And that one... And you're just worried and you're anxious, and what is that one thinking? Who? Brother, why don't you just drop all that? Why don't you just be real? Stop projecting. Stop acting. Take your little cardboard mask and just toss it in the trash heap and just let Jesus manifest himself through you. Just let God have his way in your life. Be yourself in this sense. Yourself as Jesus would have you to be. Yourself with Jesus in you. Don't ever do anything out of a motive of vainglory. Don't try to get people to think that you're something, because you're nothing. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be. The sooner you realize that, the more peace you're going to have in your life. Don't try to build something on this earth and in this life and of this world's good, because those things are uncertain. And you know they're uncertain. And because you know they're uncertain, and because you've seen other people's little house of cards come tumbling down on them, you're worried that yours might come tumbling down on you, and indeed it might. And so if you're letting that thing be important in your life, you're not going to have the peace of God reigning in your heart. You're going to have constant anxiety and worry, and you're going to be easily stumbled. You're going to be easily losing your temper. But if you'll just simply look to Jesus and care only about his glory and his will being done in your life today, that he might prepare you for what he has in the future. Don't worry about how big of a church you're going to have someday or what your ministry is going to be someday. Just ask yourself, am I doing the will of God today? If God has a ministry for me in the future, then there must be some preparation. Am I moving into that preparation? What is God's will for me right now? What preparation does God have for me? Or what ministry that would God have me to be partaking in? And if I'm doing it, then praise God. And don't worry about the future. See, inordinate worry about the future causes anxiety and causes strife. And that's not of God. That's not the Holy Ghost spurning you. That's your flesh. That's your pride. Worried about being something someday. Worried about being something right now. sooner you drop that whole bag, the better off you'll be, the more joyful you'll be. A person who has joy and peace and consistent power, and power where and when it counts in his life, is a person who doesn't care about anything but God's will being done in his life. That's the place that God wants to bring us into. The last thing I want to mention in obtaining, appropriating, and maintaining this peace of God, this wonderful peace of God, this peace that will give you strength to stand against any temptation that any man or devil will bring your way, is simply to believe and trust in God. Philippians chapter 4, 6. I want you to turn back to the original text that I read to you tonight. I want you to look at that sixth verse. And in the sixth verse there it says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. There's no exceptions to that. It doesn't say be anxious for nothing except those things that, you know, be anxious for nothing. Be worried over nothing. Because if you're worried, either your desire is wrong or you're not trusting and believing God. So be worried, be anxious over nothing. Now, there's things that you should be concerned with. There's people in this body that are backsliding that you should be praying for and concerned for. There's things going on that we need to be praying for and concerned about and concerned enough to be putting legs to our prayers and doing something about it. But be worried over nothing. Worry involves fear. And fear involves lack of trust in God, which is an insult to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now that thanksgiving is a thanksgiving of faith, because in everything, when something comes, you get down and you pray and say, God, if this is of you, if this thing is your will for my life, God, bring it to pass. There's certain things you have to pray about this way, not all things. There's certain things that you know it's God's will, and you don't have to say, if it be thy will. But there's some things where you don't know. And it's those things especially where you're tempted to worry and be anxious. You put those things into the hands of Jesus and say, God, all I know is that I want you to be glorified in my life. I want you to be lifted up. No matter what the outcome of this thing is, just glorify yourself. Just glorify yourself in me. Let me get out of the way enough to where you can glorify yourself in me. Have your way. That prayer and the thanksgiving that goes with it, that thanksgiving means that you're trusting the Lord. You begin to thank the Lord even in advance for what you know He's going to do. God, I know that You're going to have Your way. God, I've submitted this thing to You. I don't care what the outcome is, as long as the outcome is what Your will is. God, I don't care about this thing for myself. I don't want anything. I don't want to gain anything. I don't want to be anything. God, just have Your way. Let Your will be done, O God, in Jesus' name. If that's your prayer, and you pray like that, and you say, God, I thank You, Lord, that You're going to bring this to pass. God, I'm believing You, Lord. Hallelujah. You can begin to pray that way. You can begin to thank Him because you're trusting Him. Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God bless you.